The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. Gil Alexander, right there to my left, to your right. Kelly Bidelon, everybody.
Hey, yo, how we doing?
How you doing, man?
Good.
Good morning to you. Did Dave Ross, was he able to get through by the books, or was it just a three-hour smoking of a cigarette with him staring at the ceiling, where he's saying to himself, I know it's
who's
not,
next?
I know it's not good that anybody loses their job, but this is awesome with the NFL coaching carousel. He loves that.
He's got a big, like, it's like the NCAA tournament bracket. He's just crossing off names one at a time.
We have six openings. No openings since 24 hours ago, though. No new firings, we should say.
Yeah.
Still Raheem Morris, Kevin Stefanski. Who am I forgetting already?
Jonathan Gannon, Pete Carroll.
Yeah. Those four. And then the two openings with the interim coaches in Tennessee and New York with the Giants. So those are the six. So anything breaks down during the show or anything comes out, we'll let you know about that. Last night, FCS championship. I hope everybody tailed the Randy McKay pick that Crack gave out last week. Illinois State plus 10.5. At halftime, it looked like it had no shot, to be honest with you. 21-7, Montana State. I was like, oh, we're losing this. And then I fell asleep, I have to tell you, for a little bit of the third quarter. Woke up and Illinois State with a stop, down 7. They tie it up at 28 apiece. Then they look like in regulation they're going to win it with a field goal chip shotty blocked. And then by the return of the block, it looked like Montana State was going to win it in regulation. And then they had, consecutive negative plays.
FCS football, baby. Let's go.
Jesus Christ. They're going the wrong way.
It's like these aren't professionals.
They had like 9 false starts. I'm not making up that number. Like 9 false starts in this game. It was unbelievable. They never went to a silent count.
What was it? Like 3 early? It was like 3 on their first 2 drives.
So it was so weird. And then you go to overtime, and then, of course, so we win our bet already, and then I get greedy, and I'm like, oh, Illinois State, they're crushing them. I'm going Illinois State on the money line here in overtime. Sure enough, Illinois State, 2 plays, they score. Again, the extra point is blocked. By the way, on both the field goal and the extra point, it wasn't the kicker, it was the holder who messed it up. So I'm like, oh, we're losing this now, right? Up 6, they're going to score. But they get them to a 4th and long. I'm like, maybe I will win this. Nope. They pick up the blitz. Montana State 35, Illinois State 34. What a ball game.
Yeah, you know what, though? At least you had the stones to go in on the money line at overtime. We were like, me and you were texting each other in the fourth quarter. Like, did I really just bet on an FCS football game? Like, I don't know anything about these teams. I would tail Randy McKay on FCS football like this for sure. He comes through again. But I'm like, am I really taking 10.5 points and I didn't sprinkle a little on the money line? And then, like, you said you were sleeping during. You missed the... I love touchdowns. I love when things go your way and you're irate about it.
The
it's
jump ball.
4th and 1.
Yeah.
4th and 1 at like the 7-yard line or something. And it's just the stupid blind fade of just like, let me throw this up for my wide receiver, see if he gets it. Like 1 yard. Like you can't run something. You can't run something more productive. Of course he catches it, no problem. Yeah. And that's the touchdown. It cuts it from 14-7. And then boom, you went through the rest.
On the show today, Jay Kahn, Jim Patrick Root, Jay Kahn on hockey, Jim Root on college basketball, Drew Dinsick on the NBA and NFL. A little later on, Jeff Erickson, Pete Futak, who apparently is in town, but couldn't be bothered coming in studio, I'm told. We'll find out about that. We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see what's
he might just show up, too.
We never know. You never know with that. We'll do our playoff NFL power rankings. We'll get into that. 1 through 14, we'll do all of it. Speaking of Drew Dinsick with the NBA, which we'll talk about later, the NBA was really front and center in the news yesterday. Beyond that FCS championship that we were focused in on. First, there's this Trae Young rumor, right? That Trae Young is, that's not a rumor, that's reported that Trae Young is, and the Hawks are looking for a way for Trae Young to get out of town. The Wizards rumored as perhaps the destination. And as a Washingtonian and as a guy who loves Denny Avdia. Let me just say this again for those who missed it when I went on vacation in February of 2024. What were my first words back to you when we were at the D for my vacation in February 2024? I said to you, I go, hey, what was the most incredible thing that happened during my 2 weeks off? And I said, Denny Avdia dropped 43 points, 15 boards, 14 assists, 4 blocks in a Wizards game against the Pels, which again, if you do the conversion that I did at the time, I said, that's like a Gentile scoring 86 points in a game because the tribesman record is 50. Wilts, of course, is 100. Oh, you get the math. And we had a good laugh about it. But it's my way of saying how much I think Avdija is great.
He's awesome.
Right. And without appearing like a stan, and we're talking betting. So there wasn't really a betting angle on coming back from vacation. But this is what I'm getting to is now Wizards fans are supposed to be excited about Trae Young. By the way, try to find a Wizards fan first.
Right.
That's your first task. Walk down the street, D.C., ask the first 100 people if they're a Wizards fan. They're like, what are you talking about?
It's, by the way, Denny Avdija after last night, another great game.
Cornerstone of the Blazers franchise now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Minus 130 for most improved player now. That's where you're
NBA All-Star.
Denny Avdija. That's right, NBA All-Star.
It's infuriating.
Definitely will be. He is having an excellent season.
You know what's really infuriating about that is that is not a basketball evaluation that isn't polluted with subjectivity. I'll leave it at that.
Sure. Absolutely. Now I'm just wondering what you're trying to hint at, but yes, absolutely. He's been great.
Well, because there's no precedent for him is what I'm trying to say. But anyway,
really quick on the Blazers. My only concern with Denny is he's entering a similar situation. It's like, are the numbers just going to be useless? Are him and Shaedon Sharpe going to put up all these amazing numbers? It's just not going to matter at the end of the day. I'm with you, man. There's so many different angles to talk here. The Wizards side of it, like, you just need another Bradley Beal back in town to try to sell some tickets like that.
Doing?
That's what it feels what like from the doing? Wizards side, right? Which is just really sad. I mean, yes, you from that town. It's like, what's the long term future here? Atlanta, look, it's frustrating too. Zach Cohen and I just did Hardwood Handicappers. We were talking about this on the podcast. Go check that out. We'll be up in a little bit. Me and him, I think, are bigger Trae guys than most. Like, I've said it on this show before. Like, I think we can look the with and without numbers with Trae. People are going to bring this up all the time. With him in the lineup, they're 2-8. Without him, they're 15 and 12. Oh. Offensive rating's been about the same. The defensive rating is way better when he's off the court. That's fair. It's great. Those are numbers that I cannot argue against. I even think, Gil, that if we play out the entire season without Trae Young on this team, that these numbers would likely continue and they will look pretty good record-wise and defensive rating-wise heading into the playoffs. But when you get into the NBA playoffs, not having Trae Young will hurt you more than it helps you. Like, that is just, you need a creator, you need someone to turn to, and I don't think that Jalen Johnson is he's been awesome this year. Besides him, there's not a lot of options to turn to after.
All right, another topic for your hardwood handicappers, folks.
Yes.
Okay, last night, the Oklahoma City Thunder, for those who missed it, not only lose.
Anyways, long way around of saying, I think Trae probably gets moved at some point because it just appears to be so fractured, but I'm not running to jump any specific team.
OKC started the season 24-1.
Mm-hmm.
We had everybody on the show say, not only get to 70 games, but win 74. Break the record. Since they've gone 24-1, they've gone 6-6.
Yep.
6-6. Last night they get blown out, not just beaten, blown out by Charlotte. Is that correct? Am I reading that right?
That's right, Gil Alexander. The March to 30 continues for the Charlotte Hornets, picking up a big one in OKC.
I have a topic for your hardwood handicappers, folks, that will leads to a ultimate betting discussion about OKC. SGA last night went 7-21 from the field, 1-6 from behind the arc. Their two losses before that, he went 8-22, 1-5 from behind the arc. The game before that, that they lost 7-19, 1-6 from behind the arc for 22. Now, remember when they were losing to San Antonio and Minnesota, it was like, oh, well, those are good teams and we get it. But now it's Phoenix and Charlotte. Back to back.
Yep. Phoenix has been good.
In a league that is so concerned with load management, can we talk about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for a second?
Okay.
No relation. Shai Gilgeous, in those losses, right, instead of being a 55.4% shooter from the field, these last six losses, he's a 45.1% shooter. And those win in on the season, he's 41.9% from behind the arc. And those six losses, he's 22.9% behind the arc. What I'm getting at here is, in a league so concerned with load management This is the among the maybe the second least load managed guy in the league. I did a deep dive on minutes in the NBA since the beginning of the 2024 regular season. Obviously, Oklahoma City went all the way last year in the playoffs this year. Top 10 minutes logged of NBA players. Four of them, unsurprisingly, are Knicks because of the Tom Thibodeau administration. Mike Brown's whole modus operandi being the new coach is like, we're going to limit that.
How long is this again?
Since the beginning of last regular season.
Okay. This is interesting.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has logged the second most minutes of any player.
Huh.
The only player to log more, which there should be a 30 for 30 on him, is Mikal Bridges.
Oh, yeah.
It's insane with Mikal Bridges.
Josh Allen's starting streak. Yeah,
he's Mikal Bridges over 5,000 minutes logged. Shai is second with 4640. Now, what I'm getting at is here with Shai is that's from the beginning of last year. But he played in the Olympics before last season. Mm-hmm,
which is important to remember.
Right? Remember, last year went all the way to game 7 of the NBA Finals. So it was like deep into June. Year before that, Olympics. Year before that, 2023 FIBA Cup. Year before that, 2022 FIBA Cup. He has played constant basketball now for, we're going on 4 years. At some point, does this become a thing with OKC? Let's do the whole 180 on OKC. Uh-oh, because he's not 22.
Yeah.
I get it, he's not old, but he's not young-ish. He's youngish only at this point.
It's a completely fair point to bring up. What they were able to do early in the season, they have not been able to do the past month because they've been in these ball games. Early in the season, he was checking out of most fourth quarters. It was cool. I'm going to give him three quarters, then I don't have to play the fourth because we're up 25 points. So you were able to do that early in the year. Now you can't do it. It's a fair question.
From the man who brought you Denny Avdia, I bring you this. Coming back, NFL and more next on A Numbers Game. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Want to bet smarter? Start with smarter insights. Right now you can check out Greg Peterson's College Basketball Best Bets, Steve Mackinnon's Traits of Super Bowl Winners. I like that little formula.
Nice.
Nigel Seeley's Premier League Best Bets. Later today you can check out Tyler Shoemaker's Men and Women's College Projections and Picks, Zach Cohen's NBA Best Bets, and Jonathan Davis's NHL Picks and Props. You get full Visa Pro access for as little as $9.99 for your first 30 days. See all of the options at vsin.com/subscribe. We had tweets beating the book. Always appreciated. This is from Nick at NReno123. He says, watching the show, I'm a Wizards fan from Pittsburgh. I miss Avdija and more now watching him playing so well in Portland. Ed M, one of the few, the proud, a Wizards fan here. Need to see what Washington gives up before I judge a young deal. He's a player I'd enjoy watching play for my team, sort of like Westbrook a few years ago, but it accomplishes little, short, or long term.
Yeah.
We found our Wizards fans.
You get a Bradley Beal back, yeah. Right? Like, but that's where I'm like, it angers me more because I'm like, you're just running the same playbook, like, and then you're gonna shake your head in 4 years when you're like, well, that didn't work out. I guess we got to try something else.
I fear that what I'm about to say is going to start a whole sports talk radio tweet fest on our show for the next 3 hours.
Say it.
But the Washington, when I was a kid, when I was a little boy, the Washington Bullets won the NBA championship. I know, boys and girls, I know this sounds like it happened in the 1800s. But in 1978, the Washington Bullets beat the Seattle Supersonics for the NBA title. This is pre-Magic and Bird. I would argue the Washington Wizards franchise is the most, what's the word I'm looking for? Inconsequential franchise. One of the most inconsequential franchises in sports. With apologies to like the Columbus Blue Jackets.
No, I know you mean.
A much better hockey team than the Wizards are a basketball team. It's kind of like, what's the history of, like, what have you done kind of thing ultimately?
Well, and combined with being in a major market.
Correct. So anyway, I just want to say that.
I don't know. There's not one that I can sit here and.
I mean,
the NBA, that's been the obvious case for the past, 15, 20 years?
Because it's not like, I'm not talking about a team that has sucked the most over a long time. Like, if we had Adam Burke on as a Cleveland Browns fan yesterday, right? Super passionate about the Browns, right, as Browns fans are. They care deeply about their franchise. I'm talking about, like, franchises that are just in the they're in the ether somewhere, right? Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's tough to be bad year after year in a major market.
Yeah, but have no one care simultaneously.
Nobody cares.
Is the point.
Yeah, right. Nobody
right
cares.
Is the point of what I'm saying. Let's see here. Brosec 1870. One day of tennis betting, two bets, three tiebreakers that didn't go my way. I might be done for the year. Yeah, you went and ran into the tiebreaker thing that I ran into all of last year. By the way, I didn't have a good tennis day either. So give it a shot. Don't just quit after one day. Tim Bauer. So I saw a commercial about the upcoming Winter Olympics. I started scratching my neck and wondering if Drew will have any more of those Olympic picks, or is Olympic specialty limited to the Summer Olympics? Oh, we can ask Drew for some Winter Olympics.
Oh,
thoughts.
Yeah. He'll be involved in the Winter Olympics. Don't worry. That is getting good. That is getting closer.
Yes, it is.
It's January already. Gil, how did this happen?
We're like a month away. Last thing on the OKC thing, I should have pointed out what the final score was. Like, OKC was a 15.5-point favorite. They lose by 27. Is that correct?
Yeah, that sounds right.
What's the Charlotte Hornets win-o-meter?
Oh, JVT made this up.
Oh, this is your road to 30?
JVT built this for all of us that have over win total bets on the Charlotte Hornets, and I was not aware of it until like last week that he had been constantly updating this, so now it's going to fall on Danny to track Hornets games every night. But yeah.
The win total was less than 30. 30 is just your alt, right?
That's my alt. That's why JVT was nice enough to build this up to 30, because I bet the 30-plus wins, and yeah, over 27.5 is the main win total. So let's go Hornets.
And you wanted to say about the OKC shooting.
I think Zach Lowe made a great point on this on his podcast. I was listening to it yesterday. This is such a classic example, Gil, of shooting regression. Like this, they started off the season. The three-point numbers were white hot from 6-7 different guys. So when we really saw them in that stretch leading up to the NBA Cup, it's shooting about as well as we've ever seen this group shoot. And guess what? They've dropped off. They're a bottom third team over this 6-6 last 12 games. They're a bottom third team in 3-point shooting right now. I truly believe, like, do I think some people were getting a little too excited about this team early on? Yeah, I do. Right. And I think if this continues, let's say for another week, they lose one or two more games, there's going to be massive overreaction to the other side of like, oh, this team is flawed. Like, they're not good.
They're not flawed. They're really good. But I think in a league where load management is everybody's rallying cry, mm-hmm. your superstar might just get gassed.
He really might. I mean, look, if you can do what you did at the beginning of the year, that's the best of both worlds, right? If you can sit your superstar for the fourth quarter because you're up by 30, that's the best of both worlds. But they ain't going to be able to do that all season.
To the NFL, yesterday we were still talking about awards. Why? Because I'm going to stop doing that where I say a sentence in the middle. I go, why? The Chris Cuomo thing. I should stop doing that. Well, we were a little surprised that DraftKings still had the markets up.
Yeah.
Right? They are no longer up at DraftKings. But they are up at FanDuel, right? And all the awards markets are still there. And NFL Coach of the Year, Mike Vrabel's -370, Mike McDonald's +410. Both Kelly and I have longer tickets on McDonald. Kelly's longer than mine. And I gave sort of the speech as to why I think McDonald is the right guy. I said, you know, they both teams, the Patriots and the Seahawks, had the exact same season win total. They ended up with the exact same record. One coach faced the easiest schedule in the NFL. The other's defense, the side of the ball that he coaches, he gave up the fewest points in the NFL and beat, got to the number one seed, oh, by the way, against the better conference. Mina Kimes is one of the 50 voters, and she's one of the voters that isn't shy to tell you what she is going to vote. Here's Mina.
Good morning. I just submitted my votes for MVP, Offensive Player of the Year. I'm going to do a podcast, as always, explaining my thinking, but thought it might be fun to talk about why I picked Seahawks coach Mike McDonald as my coach of the year. Often it goes to like the turnaround job and really strong case for Mike Vrabel, Ben Johnson, Liam Cohen in Jacksonville. Kyle Shanahan also has a tremendous case given what they've overcome with injuries. But I think two things. One, we often should more so consider just overall success and dominance. And I also think Mike McDonald, the turnaround he's done in 2 years, deserves consideration, especially when you take a step back and look at the fact that he's done it in two places with his defenses. So the Baltimore Ravens, before he became the defensive coordinator, 2021, they were 28th in DVOA. 2022, his first year, they jumped to 8th in DVOA, and then his final year, first best defense in the NFL. Let's do it with the Seahawks. Okay, so before he became the head coach and took over the defense in 2023, the Seahawks defense, people forget, also 28th in DVOA. 2024, year one, immediate jump to a top 10 unit defensively. And then this year, once again, he did it. He has turned them into the best defense in the NFL. This man has now done this, gone from near the bottom of the league to the best of the NFL in two separate places. If that's not an unbelievable coaching job, I don't know what it is. This is a defense-led team. We certainly saw that when he shut down Kyle Shanahan's offense this weekend. It was an amazing performance. They've obviously drafted well, but they've also developed well, and it's an incredibly coached unit. I think he deserves credit for that.
Okay, Mina Kimes from ESPN, one of 50 voters. Mike McDonald, still available at FanDuel, plus 410 to win Coach of the Year. So, again, she's one of 50. Yeah, that's, you know, 5% of the votes.
Yeah.
Don't point that out. So at least you know, unless you think Mina Kimes is just a liar, you're at least you're one vote in the hopper. OK, you got a one vote lead anyway, as far as we know, on Mike McDonald, who's available again at plus 410. I thought there was a couple interesting things about what she said. One, well, actually one overriding interesting thing. She gave it as kind of a lifetime achievement award, right?
Yeah.
She just discussed the amazing ascendancy of defenses that he inherited and what happened in his first year and his second year. And it's happened twice now for him in both Baltimore and Seattle. That's interesting because that could also apply to thinking in other categories like, oh, I don't know, MVP, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. That was an interesting thing from her. And I also like that she just shares it openly.
Yeah.
And gives her reasoning for it, which I think she deserves credit for, because a lot of folks are reticent to do that for whatever reason.
Sure. I mean, we were saying even it was just a week ago, right, that one of these five guys could win it. Like, yeah. I'm not going to go nuts about it. I'm still not going to go nuts about it if one of these five guys wins it. I guess Sean Payton's the only one that I would not really be considering here. Even Shanahan still, if he had won it, I'm not going to go crazy about. But yeah, it's... I think Mike McDonald is extremely live. I don't think we should be out on our tickets at all.
I'll say what I've said for a few weeks now, though. I think it's going to be a super splintered vote.
Yeah.
And so Liam Cohen at 7-1, Ben Johnson at 81. Like, I don't know. Because if the winner could end up with seven first place votes for all I know.
Right, right. Man, it'd probably be a little more than that, but I hear you. I hear your point, man. I think he's up there.
Yeah, my math's not right, but let's say it's
12, 13.
Let's say it's 11 whatever, or 12, yeah. Right.
So, I think he could. I think it's fair to question, hey, Vrabel kind of inherited some of this stuff, right? Like, McDonald has blown up this roster over the past 2 years and rebuilt it and made it better.
Yeah, man.
I mean, specifically on the defense, but even the offense is incredible.
Let's talk a little hockey. You brought up the fact that the Olympics are only a month or so away.
Chechia went down yesterday.
Chechia went down. We'll talk to Jake about that. What his thoughts are on the Canada and U.S. rosters for the Olympics. And the NHL plays, of course, next on A Numbers Game right here at VSiN.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
ProfitX, the number one sports prediction market, has some of the best future pricing you'll find on college football national championship and Super Bowl odds. With a huge holiday slate shaping playoff seating, now's the perfect time to get in, take advantage of ProfitX's 20% purchase match. Download ProfitX today and experience the future of winning. Use promo code VSiN to get started. I miss it in Cali. Took it away in Cali. Miss it. Big time. By the way, there was one coaching move this morning. Cowboys have relieved defensive coordinator, now former defensive coordinator, Matt Eberflus, of his duties. Aaron Schatz, who's going to be on the show tomorrow, our annual post-regular season pre-playoffs appearance from Aaron, one of the final DVOA things of the year. The Cowboys defense ends up being ranked as the fourth worst defense in the history of DVOA. Since 1978, this 2025 Cowboys defense, Cowboys will now be going on their fourth different defensive coordinator in four seasons. Here's what I'll say about Matt. That's, I know, right? Here's what I'll say about Matt Eberflus. Here's the thing, Kelly. He may be a terrible defensive coordinator, but he doesn't know how to manage a clock worth a damn either when he's a head coach. So I just want to say that about
him. So you don't think after getting fired today, he's going to get a head coaching look anywhere?
I just want to point out. that even though he's a bad defensive coordinator, he can't do that other thing either.
I just want to point out that I agree with this firing, Gil, because the defense can only get better, really.
How do you think, how quick was that meeting? Jerry's like, well,
like, do I really have to explain why?
Let's talk some hockey. Jake Hahn joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Once again, Jake can be found on Twitter at jhahn4. That's H-A-H-N and the number 4. He is, of course, the co-host on The Point and the Fantasy Hockey Show on Sirius XM NHL, and the co-host of NHL Fantasy on Ice Podcast, which is also at NHL underscore fantasy on Twitter. Jake, good morning to you, sir. How you doing, man? Happy New Year. Oh, I'm not allowed to say
I'm
that.
I'm doing
sorry.
Good, guys. Yeah. Happy New Year. Are we past the Happy New Year? Is that why you can't say it, Gil?
Kelly put down the gauntlet yesterday that yesterday was the final day.
So. It is. I feel bad with guests, though. Yeah. You know what I mean? I immediately feel a little
stupid. I missed my Happy New Year. I'm too late for the Happy New Year, but that's okay. Kelly says it, then the line has been drawn in the sand. No more Happy New Year, but I am doing great. I always get a little sad when the World Junior Tournament ends, guys. I know we talked about it last time I was on. Gold medal game went last night. I love the tournament so much. It comes and goes very quickly. But the good thing is, as a sports fan, we're entering a great week. We got the college football semifinals. I believe it's Thursday, Friday. And then you got the NFL playoffs starting this weekend. So lots of hockey sprinkled in there for me as well. So plenty to whet the appetite after the World Juniors ended last night.
Yeah, Czechia did not get there. It was a good call, 5-1. But Sweden, was it, who beat them? Am I correct? And Sweden beat them?
Yeah. Sweden beat them. Czechia made a great push at the end of the game, got within a goal, just could not, just basically ran out of time. They had Sweden on their heels the last 3 minutes of that hockey game. And ultimately, the Swedes end a 14-year gold medal drought at the World Juniors, if you can believe it. A perennial contender, they just never seem to get it done. And Czechia is now medaled in a 4 straight World Junior tournaments. So they've become a perennial medal contender. And we got some great numbers on Czechia, whether it was in game or in the futures market. So they helped me out real nice in that tournament. Ultimately couldn't cash the big one, but still a very successful tournament for the Czechs.
Kelly, greatest Washington Capitals Swedish player in history is?
No idea.
Bengt Gustafsson. Thanks very much. Am I correct, by the way, on that? Probably.
Nick Backstrom was a pretty good
Nick
one
Backstrom
as well.
Was probably, we could throw him in there. You're right. That's probably true.
That's what I meant.
All right. Let's go to the Olympics for a second, because we've touched on this in the past, and I thought I was going to be super clever here. I'm like, oh, I'm going to ask Jake about Canada's roster construction, because now it's been announced, and the USA's roster construction, and figured, oh, he's probably not talked about this anywhere. You're like, oh my God. What's been the debate on this? You guys have been going at it for 3 days on this now?
Well, we were all waiting. We all made our own rosters. Not that they listened to us in terms of roster construction, but on all our shows, we made our own rosters. We debated them. Who should be on? Who do we think they will take compared to who we would take? All these sorts of different debates. And now that the rosters are actually out there, we continue to debate. We continue to argue. And also, there's still a month left to go until this tournament actually starts. And unfortunately, there is going to be injuries. Hockey's a physical sport. There's a lot of games to be played until then. So if you didn't make the roster, I think there's still an opportunity for guys to show out and maybe get on via injury, but some interesting decisions. I think I'm pretty comfortable with the Canadian roster. I know a lot of American hockey fans are up in arms with some of the players that were left off, including Jason Robertson, who's one of the top offensive American-born players in the NHL this year. Alex DeBrincat, another great goal scorer, playing well for the Detroit Red Wings this year. And Adam Fox on the back end, probably one of the more shocking names. If you would have told me 2 years ago, guys, Adam Fox would not be on this roster, and a guy like Seth Jones, who was called maybe one of the more overpaid players in the league, would be, I would have called you crazy. So it's interesting how much things can change in a couple of years, and that a guy like Adam Fox, who we thought would be competing for Norris trophies every year, is not on this American roster.
So last thing real quick, does this solidify your feeling that Canada is the team to beat and that Canada and the USA are headed for a collision course here?
I do think Canada's the team to beat. Now, would I bet them? I'm seeing +130 on your board there. I don't think there's any value in that number. I think as the tournament goes on, you can maybe find a better number. I don't think I'd be willing to bet it, because I don't think there's that big of a gap between them, the USA, and even some of these other teams, you know, Sweden, Finland. They're going to put some good teams out there. I actually think out of Sweden and Finland, Finland is where I would go. I looked at their roster, a lot of great NHL players, and they just seem to come together quicker than some of these other other countries playing together. They play that sort of team game. So I think if I'm looking for someone outside of Canada and the US, maybe a little bit more of a dark horse, I'd be looking to the Finns. They always seem to play a great team game.
By the way, best part of that dissertation before was that I didn't know we ever applied show out to hockey. And when Jake says it with his Canadian accents, show out. They were showing out. I love that part about it.
Okay. You also should have wished him Canadian New Year's.
That's right. Happy Canadian New Year's. Yes. Totally different thing. All right, Jake, to the NHL, because you got tons of plays here. What are the sides you like tonight?
Well, this is a really interesting game. Colorado and the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight. Actually, a Stanley Cup final rematch if we go a handful of years back. But the Tampa Bay Lightning are on a 7-game win streak, the hottest team in the National Hockey League. Colorado never loses. They did finally lose their third game in regulation the other day, which it's crazy it took this long to get there. Tampa's coming back from the West Coast, a spot I don't tend to really like. And Colorado's playing their third road game in 4 nights, another spot I don't tend to really like. But I'm still going to go with Colorado here. I don't love Tampa coming back from the West Coast. I think they could get caught in this spot. And the Avs just don't strike me as a team that want to lose 2 games in a row at all this year. They seem ready to play every single night. So I'll take the Avs at what is a pretty short price on the money line tonight.
And then Islanders also on the money line against the Devils.
Islanders home dogs here. I don't fully understand this pricing. Now, it could be because Islanders defenseman Matt Schaefer is a game time decision due to an illness. I'm going to hope that he plays in this game. It would very much matter to me in the handicap, but I'm going to roll the dice and hope that he plays. If he doesn't play, I still think the Islanders have a decent enough chance to win this hockey game on home ice. And the Devils have just been very disappointing to me. I think the Islanders are the better team at the moment. We're getting them at plus money on home ice. That's a pretty simple handicap for me.
Okay, one total. Dallas and Carolina, which way are you going there?
Two great teams here, two teams that do like to push the pace. So you'd maybe be surprised that I would be leaning towards the under here, but the under 6.5, it just feels like a high total. I think when you get two teams like this that are high quality teams, we tend to lean a little bit more towards those low scoring games. I think that's what Carolina's game plan is going to be. Dallas can defend really well, one of the top defensive teams in the league. So I think they can slow Carolina down enough. The Canes have dealt with some defensive injuries, but I think with the home ice matchup, they can do enough to slow down the Dallas Stars. And Brandon Bussey's been a really good story between the pipes for them. So I think this can stay under 6.5.
And correlated prop here on Jake Oettinger with over on saves, correct?
This is basically anytime the Canes play, guys, if you see the Carolina Hurricanes playing, look towards the over saves for the opposing goaltender. The Canes just fire a lot of rubber, and they're a shoot to shoot team, not a shoot to score team. Everyone loves to score. Of course, that's why you're shooting in the first place, but they'll throw a bunch of shots just kind of right in the chest of the goaltender, and they'll, you know, run up the shot clock into the 30s very regularly. And Oettinger, who I assume will get the call for Dallas tonight, should be up to the task. So whatever the number is, I like the over on saves for Jake Oettinger.
All right. One more netminder over on saves is Dustin Wolf. Is that correct?
It's Joe Wall of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Joe Wall, pardon me.
Looking at the Leafs have been so leaky defensively. They've actually turned the corner a little bit offensively, and Austin Matthews has woken up their top player. So maybe starting to turn things around, but they're dead last in the league in terms of shots on goal allowed per game. And Florida doesn't mind throwing some rubber their way. So Joe Wall over saves. I think he'll be up to the task tonight in a home ice matchup against the Panthers.
All right. Well, rifle through your other props. What do you have?
So Beckett Seneca is a guy I'm looking at for the Anaheim Ducks. He's been logging a ton of minutes for them. They've been really struggling, guys, as a team, but you could get him about -110 for a point. I don't mind his over on shots as well, over 2.5 at some pretty big plus money. I just mentioned Austin Matthews as well for the Toronto Maple Leafs. It seems like he's finally woken up, and that's really good news if the Leafs have any chance of making the playoffs. So I like him over 3.5 shots to get up to 4 shots on goal. You could even take a look at his 2 points. I believe it's panned about +190, +195 for 2 points for Austin Matthews and Zach Hyman for shots on goal, over 2.5 sogs for Zach Hyman. I did want to get this out there too. If you're looking to build a same game parlay tonight, look to that Columbus and San Jose game. I see a lot of offense, both sides, maybe Werenski 2 points, Celebrini 2 points, sprinkle some shots, and I think you could have some fun with that game.
I like that little game to look at if you're into the SGPs. Jake, appreciate it very much. Jake Hahn, everybody, from north of the border. A happy Canadian New Year. Thank you, Jake. Appreciate it.
Happy Canadian New Year to you guys. Enjoy your week.
Jim Root, College Hoops next.
I
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, that right there is Kelly Bidlin. Kelly Bidlin. You good?
I'm good, man.
All right, just checking. We get tweets spinning the book. Ben Handorf. Gilly, I've watched the FCS National Championship 3 years in a row now. This is now appointment TV for me. What theater?
That was great.
It was great.
It's fun.
Awesome. Gamar, we has a wine question for Drew. We will save that one for our inevitable wine segment here on the show.
Might have made a mistake with that question last week. We have a
very targeted audience on this show. Hip hop, Yiddish, and wine, apparently. Fairway Fred, hey, 75-76 Golden State Warriors swept the highly favored Bullets in the finals. Fairway Fred, thanks for the reminder. I believe it was the 74-75 Warriors, if I'm not mistaken. And also, well, maybe you're right. Maybe it was the 75-76. I thought it was 74-75. I think it was 74-75, wasn't it? And also, the Bullets lost 78-79 to the Sonics. But I just wanted to talk about the time they won it, 77-78. Buddhist Man, you're going to have JVT bust through the studio wall like the Kool-Aid man wearing his full Clippers uniform if you don't be careful with the most inconsequential franchise in a major market talk.
Yeah, Buddhist Man, I read your tweet. I was like, oh, yeah, those guys.
Johnny Brock.
But I forgot about the Clippers in this conversation.
I knew this was going to happen. Johnny Brock. Would the Rockies be the second most inconsequential team in sports? Primetime, I'm not even going to read your tweet because it's blasphemy. That's right. I'm editing today. Barry Inkyung, I hope I'm pronouncing that correct. He says, probably worth mentioning that Mina Kimes is well known as a big Seahawks fan, but yes, that is one vote. 5% of the votes. And by the way, the whole thing with being a fan, like Aaron Schatz got accused of being a, you're a Patriots fan, that's why you have him rated number one. When Tom 2%. Brady was their quarterback. What did I say, 5%? 2%, I mean, yeah. Sorry, 2%.
We made that mistake
earlier. 2%. 2%.
I don't really think Mina Kimes is voting for these awards based off her
She is not. That's my point. Aaron Schatz now has the, you know, has the Patriots ranked low-ish all year long. So it's like these folks are pretty objective.
Guess what? People have to be from somewhere, and they often have teams that they root for, too.
Paul M., I hear Sacramento Queens saying, don't forget about us. They want to mention management and very bad drafting. See the last three number one picks. Oh, wait, no first last year, but 24, Devin Carter, 23, Olivier Maxens Prosper, advanced past first round in 2004. Yeah, Sacramento Kings is right. Respect the process. So Mina was getting cooked by Rams fans because she said she voted for Drake May. She works for the Rams for preseason, so people were upset. I am not. I respect it. She breaks down Coach of the Year, but what about MVP? Also, she's a Seahawks fan. LOL. Respect. Right? So she didn't do it with the MVP.
Right. Yeah. That's...
Yeah. And Chance Copperbot, speaking of the Washington Bullets, I finally watched the Crittenden Arenas doc called Shooting Guards. Oh, my God. It's
awesome.
Still
haven't gotten there.
He says, reminded me of how great Arenas really was. It's an emotional doc, but a great doc. Another good recommendation from Gilly. Yeah, man. Great documentary. Great documentary because both Arenas and Crittenden are older now and super honest, I think.
Still on the top of my doc list.
What's the second one?
Being Eddie.
Oh, got to watch that, Eddie Murphy. Yeah. Absolutely. What's three?
Netflix America's Team. Cowboys. Oh,
you don't have to watch that. Although I'm sure it's interesting. Ladies and gentlemen, let's talk some college hoops. Jim Root joins us now. One third. I think we have that mathematic percentage correct. 33.33% of the three-man weave crew. He joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him at Second Chance Points. That's with the number two. And all of Three Man Weave stuff at 3MW_CBB. How you doing, Jim?
Doing all right, Gil. Good to be here. Happy to talk to you fellas. Enjoying listening to the math discussion here. More of that is always welcome.
We do tax code radio. I mean, sometimes it's just riveting. It's a riveting game. Stuff. It's a numbers game. We got to talk about this thing happening in college hoops. We're bettors. We don't really focus on rankings. For those who care, Arizona, by like 1 point in the ranking system, is the number one team in the country. Michigan is, by 1 point difference, is number two. I think the only tie there's ever been, by the way, historically, was like 1981, UVA and Oregon State. Ralph Sampson, Lester Connor. Lester had a nickname we don't say anymore these days, and it was a whole thing. But Michigan is what I want to focus on. Michigan has now won, because we talked about this when they were here in Vegas. They won those three tournament games by a grand total of, I think it was 110 points or 100 points, something like that. They beat, in the process, two ranked teams. They beat Auburn by 30, and then they came back and they beat Gonzaga by 40 to close out that tournament. And Gonzaga, still, that's the only loss Gonzaga has had all year. Then this weekend, they beat USC, not a highly ranked team, but still a ranked team, by 30 again. Michigan becomes, I think the first team to ever beat three consecutively ranked opponents by 30 or more points. By the way, there's only been two other teams in history that have beaten three ranked teams, period, by 30 plus points in full seasons. So that's what we're talking about with Michigan. Now, the betting market, Michigan is the short shot to win it all at plus 340. They do get to play Nebraska and Michigan State later this month, which will be fascinating. Home against the currently undefeated Cornhuskers, which is like the opposite of the Indiana story, right, in football. Them being a traditional football school, now doing well in basketball. And Michigan State is at Lansing. And then they do the at Purdue, at Duke thing in February. I'm just curious from a historical perspective. What's the deal, man? Where do you rank this team as far as how you felt about teams in January?
Yeah, they're like the highest I've ever had a team rated in the 7 or so years I've been doing this. And at this point in the year, I think the Zion Duke team I had really high. Going back and looking at some of the most dominant regular season teams, like even Kentucky in 2015, Duke in 1999, they weren't quite doing what this Michigan team is doing. It's pretty hard to keep up with. I somehow won a couple games against them with Wake Forest and TCU early in the season, but now they've covered 9 of their last 10. And yeah, they're just a complete juggernaut. You mentioned the wins over ranked teams. I think Villanova is just outside the rankings, number 26 right now, and they beat Villanova by 28. Like they just have completely demolished anybody in their path. It's been a lot of Power 5 teams, and it hasn't mattered. They were 6 for 30 from 3 against USC, 20%.
That's right.
Still won by 30.
And they were only 6 of 30 from 3. That's incredible.
It's nuts. They completely dominate the rim. They've got the best front court in the country, deepest front court in the country. Number one in the country in 2-point percentage offense and 2-point percentage defense. You kind of just like run out of platitudes to give them. They're so thoroughly dominant.
Did you see this coming before the season?
No.
At all?
No, I did not. I had them ranked in the top 10, but I thought maybe they're one of the more vulnerable top 10 teams if they couldn't figure out shot creation in the backcourt. Bringing in Elliot Cadeau, I thought would be a kind of a clunky fit. And instead, they've just run at a crazy, crazy pace. Their bigs are mobile. They're able to get out in transition. They've used their depth as a weapon. They start a giant lineup with three bigs. I did not see this level of domination coming, but Dusty May's roster construction has been pristine. That's, I think, always been one of his strengths. And this year, with the size they've gotten, the way they're able to put it together, and the way they're shooting the ball this year, too, it's kind of just unprecedented.
So Michigan's at Penn State tonight. They're laying 20.5, something like that. You know, check your local listings kind of thing for a point here and a point there. Get the best of it. You don't think this is enough. You're laying the wood with Michigan.
Yeah, I'm going to take the minus 20.5. I think it's 21 some places. It opened 24.5. So to see numbers, you know, money come in way strongly against Michigan's rather shocking. I think a lot of it has to do with the Axel Lendeborg, their National Player of the Year candidate, being questionable with a calf injury. Honestly, if he doesn't go, I'm still okay with it at 20.5. That's why I'm coming in. I think they will just so thoroughly dominate the paint on both ends of the floor. I don't know how Michigan State scores inside against Mata, against Moraes Johnson Jr., who is, per Ken Pom, a top 10 National Player of the Year candidate as well. Like, this team is just completely stacked. They've got depth, even if Lendeborg is out. I believe in them to completely blow out Penn State as well. I know it's on the road. It's maybe not the same as a thrashing at home, but with the pace they play at and the soft interior of Penn State, I think they continue their domination and win that game by 25 plus.
On a night with no football, they're kind of must-see TV tonight. Let's go to your other two picks. What else did you have tonight?
6-1-3 on the board, South Carolina, a dog in the SEC, a road dog going to LSU. LSU did beat Texas A&M this weekend, but I think not having Deedon Thomas, their point guard, is going to really catch up to him. I know you guys are familiar with him out in Vegas. He was at UNLV, really strong creator, a little shifty lefty that gets in the lane and makes his teammates better. But against South Carolina, probably the team that's most able to turn games into half-court battles in the SEC, a lot of up-and-down teams there, but not South Carolina. I think they can hang around here without Thomas to create shots in the half-court, to run their pick-and-roll. I like South Carolina to hang around there.
Okay, and one more. It's not even rando. It's also like a big conference play. What do you got?
Yeah, there's no extra board games today. Will, no. they're screwing me. I don't know what to do without it. But 6:32, Oklahoma State. They believe there's some 3.5 in the market. This one's kind of a heavy spot type of bet. I wanted -3, but I'll lay just above it. UCF just rushed the floor against Kansas this weekend. Massive, massive home win. Now they're 1-0 on the road against an 0-1 team in the Big 12. I always love that angle, the team that's a little more desperate after getting off to a slow start in league play. You get a tough, odd travel going from Orlando to Stillwater, Oklahoma after such an emotional home victory. I think Oklahoma State in an up-tempo game here is comfortable, gets a lot of points, high-scoring game, and is able to take care of business against UCF and bring them back down to earth.
There you go. Oklahoma State in reverse order, South Carolina plus the points, and then Michigan laying the 20.5. Jim, thank you so much. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me.
Drew Dinsick, next.